You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
Hello and welcome to DC Domination, where we talk about all the DC TV shows in the highest star ranking order. So we talk about Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. My name is Brittany, and with me I have Ryan.
Yo.
And we have Dylan.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yes.
I was really curious, Mikey. Is he going to swear? Didn't swear.
Yep. My brother used to play that game, and I was just, out of instinct, about to just finish that saying off, but...
Yippee-ki-yay, yeah. Melon Farmer.
Melon Farmer. I love that one.
No, that's So in America, you know how they have their, like, free-to-wear versions of things. That's how... When they redub Die Hard, that's what it's redubbed to, Melon Farmer.
That's great.
Little fact there for you.
Or we can go into history and say Oedipus. Yippee-ki-yay, Oedipus, for all those Greek mythology people out there.
My story better.
Yeah, your story is a lot better. But what's the story for last week, fellas? We didn't have a show.
Yeah, so at airtime, we were on an aeroplane, so we felt it necessary not to do a show.
I had to put my phone in aeroplane mode, so I guess we could have done it over the captain speaker. Like, everybody, I'm just going to announce him. We have a DC Domination here on Planestar.
Yes, everybody. This is the DC Domination podcast. We're flying about 37,000 feet.
And dropping because we're using internet and it's messing with all the controls.
Because Dylan won't stop using Tinder.
Say goodbye to those you love.
The episode of Supergirl where the plane crashed. Yes, they said that plane did crash in that episode, and that's what we're going to discuss on this plane.
And no one's coming to save us.
Very similar to that plane. We are also crashing as we speak.
Because Dylan has hit something on his way out of the cockpit. So good thing we didn't do that. But yeah, good reason for it too. We had a DC Domination Day at Wet n' Wild. Well, Days, Wet n' Wild, and Warner Brothers Movie World. That was good fun.
That was a solid good time.
I actually got a tan.
I just got sunburnt, like really bad.
It was the opposite of a tan.
Well, yeah, and Dylan was like, I'm going to shave the skin that's coming from my sunburn off my face, and then just bleeds out.
That is very painful.
Is that just the greatest story?
It wasn't very painful, it just wasn't the greatest of ideas.
What's greater is going on I think it's called the funnel at Wet n' Wild, terrifying ride. So there's four of us on the ride.
Is this the one that I girled out about?
Oh yeah, you girled out, you didn't go on. There was only four could go on anyway, so it was lucky. But like three out of four of us were petrified, and Dylan was so petrified, he like passed out on this water ride.
I do not recall.
Yeah, because you're passed
out. I don't remember
out.
That happening. No.
You don't remember anything happening. You were gone. You were like, but it was like someone from Harry Potter had just gone petrificus, and you were like stiff as a plank. You had brought back 2010 planking.
I was planking, yeah.
But you were still holding on to the things. Like, we were terrified for ourselves. We were terrified for your life.
The scary part is, though, like, because he was, like, by the sounds, he was gripping so tight. Like, I would have been concerned that he hadn't already died. Like, he just hit rigor mortis then and there.
He's just gone.
He died so fast that rigor mortis set in.
Yeah, but it's a good ride. I mean, like, I found out that I prefer going backwards on that ride.
I'd prefer not going on it at all.
Not at all is even better.
I didn't go on it.
That is even better.
My list pretty quick.
Yeah, well, let's be pretty quick. Let's jump right into it. We can't cover seven episodes. I mean, we missed three last week because Supergirl didn't air. And for the week before or something, we can't cover seven episodes in 45 minutes. So we're going to keep with what we did last week. We're going to keep with this plan and only discuss the top three ranking episodes out of the whole seven. But to keep it a bit more fresh, so we're not talking about the same show, only one of that show can make it into the top three. However, it will be mentioned if it did make it in there, but we just won't discuss it. We're just talking about the next one down. Or does that sort of make sense? Do you guys follow?
Sure.
It'll make sense when we get into it. But before we dive right into third place, Dylan, what was your favorite episode?
Flash.
Which one?
Flash.
All Flash.
Just all Flash.
Everything Flash and nothing
else.
Well,
you don't even have to ask me because I have the same exact answer.
Yeah.
Flash dominates like all the time.
All the time. So I'm just going to assume that your top two places then are Flash Escape from Earth 2 and Flash King Shark.
It can't be because there's two of the same show.
Correct. But, I mean, like, star ranking-wise, we'll see how they fit.
Well, obviously King Shark is number one.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Top out of everything?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, I think once the word got out that there could have been a potential announcement in there, I think that's the exact reason why that will be the number one. Although, but the two-parter for an Earth 2 could have got a lot of views as well, but I think a lot of it would have come down to just the King Shark being a effing awesome episode.
It's being number one. Okay, so what's your least favorite then? I mean, like, Dylan says he's going to say Arrow. That's a given.
Usually, one Arrow was good. So I'm like, all right, well, if one Arrow is good, I'll give the other one a go. I'd say Supergirl was a weak episode.
Yeah?
Still didn't watch it, so...
Oh, no, hang on. No, that episode we watched together of Arrow didn't do anything.
That one was...
Taken?
Wait, that was one.
It was the other one. It was Fail.
Code of Silence.
That's the one. Demolition Team. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, that was
all
a bit weird.
All I remember is the flashbacks doing nothing at all.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think I'm gonna have to go with an Arrow this week. But then again, like, Legends was alright, but we'll get into that in a minute, but I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an Arrow at the bottom this week. Mm. It was one of the worst.
Well, before I looked at the stats, I agree with you guys. I felt that King Shark was the best. I loved it. Flash did amazing. And, I also agree that...
Big surprise.
I agreed with your original response, Dylan. I think Supergirl was the worst this week.
Yeah, I think opinion. With Arrow had two episodes, and one was good and one was eh. So that balances out. Supergirl just had one episode and it was eh. So probably Supergirl.
Yeah, which is a bit of a shame. I don't know why they missed one. However, let's put that aside and let's jump into the facts from IMDb. The third place is Arrow, Season 4, Episode 15, Taken at 8.8.
Wait, so that means there are four episodes... So, what were the four... Oh, we can't... Because you can't really say the four episodes that didn't make it, because then we will know the answer.
Mm. However, I will say that this one only made the list because the actual third place, which is 0.1 of a mark above it, was a double episode, like a double show.
So what was the very bottom of these seven? What came last? Yes.
It actually was Supergirl at 8.1.
Yes, suck it.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Anyway, so Arrow Taken creeps towards an emotional catastrophe with Felicity trying to walk. The physio was to no success, and unwillingly she admitted her hopes to walk down the aisle with Ollie when Dark was present. Dark reveals he has kidnapped Oliver's son, which sends the team into a race against the time to save him. It's only with the use of their own magical friend Vixen that the team can save the day.
So the top three can only consist of one Arrow, one Flash, or whatever?
Yes.
So where did the Code of Silence come into this?
Code of Silence? Well, I can't really say where it rests.
Well, because if Taken performed better
it's
than
out
Code
of the running
Silence,
now.
It's out of the running.
True. You guys, that's great. You guys, well, there we go. You guys are smarter than I give you credit for. Yes, Arrow actually came second last at 8.3.
Okay.
Code of Silence.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at us doing math.
Yeah. I think the only reason why this episode, so personally I gave it a 7.5. Vixen, I think, was the Vixen and the relationship, the father relationship in this, is the only reason why it got such a high mark.
So look, compared, like, Code of Silence was butthole. And Taken was really not that much better. I thought, like, there was a couple little things that were okay in this, but Vixen didn't even interest me in the slightest. She gets this funky ghost around her, and then something happens, like, nah, get out of here. Although I did like her very Wolverine-esque costume. I think it was, a really weak episode of Arrow, actually. I'm surprised that it made it this high.
Yeah, 8.8. Dylan, you don't like Arrow. So
no.
what score would you have given it, this episode Taken?
Oh, scores. And it's Arrow as well. I don't know. Bad mate. I thought it was good. I liked it. I liked Vixen. I thought she was cool. There were some nice jokes in there, and Felicity walked away.
That's symbology at the end. I was like, nice.
It's nice, but it's very convenient. And it's the same with how, as always, spoilers every week on DC Domination. It's convenient how all they needed was Vixen's knowledge in the magical realm to know that they needed to get rid of Dark's totem to remove his magical abilities. So yeah, this could have been done at the start of season 4.
When did he learn to use the Force? I didn't know he could Force choke people and throw them around and stuff. Is that new?
He's been doing that since the start. He's been choking people, stopping arrows, bullets.
Well, yeah, he sucks the life out of people. I guess he stops arrows. He's just full-on going Darth Vader in this one.
Yeah. But apart from magical knowledge, like, I don't think Vixen really brought that much else to the team.
I didn't think she had. Like, it was a shameless, let's bring her in. I thought she brought literally nothing to this episode.
Yeah.
Like, slowly but surely, I'm starting to get the cynicism that Dylan has towards Arrow. It's just not as fun as it once was.
I used to
enjoy it.
I do really like, though, that they did attempt to do this, to bring her from the animated world and to keep the same actress. I think that was great.
Yeah, I like the part where he said, we had a animated encounter a few years ago. That was good.
Which was very good. I think the standout moment, though, Theo has grown so much, and I feel like I'm saying this every week, her leaning back over the rear wheel of a motorcycle to shoot at two ghosts upside down.
Oh, man. Like,
I thought that was cool. Unnecessary.
All of Vixen's boobage that had was not as awesome as Thea's lean back shooting dudes. Like, even that, I was like, oh, that's really attractive. I know, something about it was just super badass. I was like, ooh, nice work there, you rock.
Just thinking on, like, the timeline idea, timeline would have had the Flash, one of the Flash's episodes, I think King Shark, would have happened before this episode, where Diggle asks Cisco for a new helmet. I want to see that new helmet.
Didn't he have a new helmet in this episode? It looks slightly smaller.
It looks slightly beaten up. Like, it looked pretty much like the same one.
I thought it looked smaller and, yeah, fit on his head differently.
If you do go onto Twitter to Lord Messer, who does some awesome fan fiction cartoons, he actually draws Cisco giving Diggle the mecha bat suit helmet from the Batman vs. Superman trailers. And Diggle's like, sacrilege. Oh, did you see this in a comic? And he's like, no, maybe, never. But, that's Arrow. That's the episode Taken. Arrow has definitely done better.
Yeah, it seems like you guys weren't really taken by it.
Literally breaks my heart that Arrow is slowly sucking. Like, I used to have so much love for this show. Like, when this show started, I was like, every week, I was like, gosh, give me more Arrow. But, like, it's almost like they don't even have faith in it. Like, when was the last time we saw a big, awesome villain in the Arrow? Like, they have Dark as this overarching villain, but he only rocks up and kind of turns up at most inconvenient times. They're like, I want to walk down the aisle. And he pretty much encapsulates everybody watching this show going, yeah, good on ya. Nice romantic stuff. Yeah, break, warms the heart.
Yeah, I just...
Dark is boring. Give us some big villains. Even if they steal from Batman villains again, I don't mind. Bring them back.
But we did sort of revisit an old villain in the place, the second place today. So the second place for the star ranking is Legends, Season 1, Episode 6, Star City 2046. This episode...
So I assume Failsafe came fourth or fifth?
Failsafe came fifth.
Okay.
Third last. So, yeah, we revisited one of Arrow's older villains in this... Sort of older villains in this episode. And this was very close to my favourite episode over the past few weeks. Which is saying something, because I don't usually like Legends. But, Ryan, do you have a synopsis?
I do, for Star City. So the green hooded archer is not Oliver Queen, and when he attacks, the team retreat back to the Wave Rider to make repairs and leave this bad version of 2046. Rip Hunter, Sarah Lance, Snart, and Mick head to Smoke Industries to find a central part needed to repair the ship, but become separated. Sarah follows the vigilante, who turns out to be John Diggle Jr., spoilers, under the alias of Connor Hawke. Connor reveals that Oliver is believed to be dead, spoilers, since vanishing 15 years prior, spoilers. When the son of Slade Wilson, more spoilers, Grant Wilson, arrived in Star City with an army and took over. While searching through Green Arrow's old hideout, Sarah and Rip find Oliver, spoilers, still alive and missing an arm. Spoilers. Oliver directs them to where they can find what they need, but he refuses to help them in the struggle. In a fight with Wilson's men, Connor is taken prisoner. Spoilers. Sarah goes to Oliver and convinces him to resume the Green Arrow mantle. Sarah and Oliver then stop Wilson from executing Connor. Spoilers. When the rest of Rip's team as backup. Spoilers. Oliver is able to defeat Wilson for good. Spoilers. With the ship repaired, the team re-enters the time stream.
We better be careful. We're going to have River Song sue us for using spoilers.
There's so many damn spoilers in that thing there.
Yeah, that was... I couldn't take anything out. I mean, like, it's... That was such an action-packed episode. I loved it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, like... Oliver's missing an arm. He has a fake robotic arm. We have Slade's kid coming into the fold, which I did wonder about, actually, a while
ago. Yeah, which he had some weird overbite things. Every time he's talked, his mouth did weird things, and it kind of annoyed me.
And he was British. Wasn't Slade Australian?
Super was.
I was a bit confused there.
They don't know the difference.
Yeah, but the music when they went into the abandoned Arrow Cave, it was like... sort of haunting, but then it also had a little bit of the Arrow theme coming through with it.
I did like
nice
when they
touch.
When Sarah gives him the bone, it's like, wow, and then that noise that it does on Arrow, and I was like, yeah.
What did you think of old Oliver Queen, Dylan? Did you think it worked? You didn't like it.
Not only is he sucking in his own show, but he's starting to come across in other shows and suck in those as well. I was excited. He had no arm, just like the Dark Knight. He had a robot arm. But he sits in the Arrow Cave for however many years, doing nothing. And then the city's ruined. There's no point in even trying. It's completely destroyed. And then at the end, he's just like, yeah, I'll be the Arrow again. Was he even the Arrow again? I think he just gave the Arrow to the other guy and was like, yeah, you be the Arrow.
He's like, look, I've got a hood. I can fight with my robo arm.
Yeah, like, what? All of a sudden... why not? I'll get
now. I'm just going to put this out there as well. Now, this is something I feel I should have mentioned in the Arrow episode. But we've talked about this a little bit with Dylan. But Brittany, do you feel the choreography with Arrow is dropping? Like,
yes.
The quality is not as good as it once was.
It has moments like with Thea, which is great, and sometimes with the League of Assassins. I always love Nisa coming into the field, but it's definitely slower. And seems less
smooth. It's like the punches don't seem to hit the same way. Like previously, when you would know there's a big bust up coming, you're like, all right, this is gonna be sick. Like the choreography is gonna be tight. It's gonna look real. And it's gonna look reasonably brutal. I haven't felt that with Arrow in a while. And then we watched the fight with Oliver and Baby Slade, and
Baby Slade, love it.
Yeah, like you can actually see the kicks not landing, and you know, like, well, obviously they don't land, but like just the choreography felt sloppy.
Yeah,
and it really breaks my heart, like so bad.
It is very disappointing. Like that's one thing that Arrow used to have over the Flash was the fight, the choreography. That was one of the biggest. This is one of the amazing things about it. I mean, that's all he has. He has that, and he has his arrow, and it's going.
Yeah, it bums me out.
Yeah.
And what about the teenage romance going on the ship? What kind of subplot was that?
I hated that.
Oh my god, that's the worst.
That was just filler. It didn't further the storyline or any storyline in any way.
Well, because it nicely wrapped up in the end. It was like, so, what's his name? I'm going to call him Black Firestorm.
Jackson.
So Jackson was like, hey, I think I want to bang the, you know, the other girl that's on the ship. And then because they're like psychic connected, Stein's like, I think I want to bang her too. But no, it's mostly you that does, so all right. And then in a really bad attempt to be like, hey, someone likes her, you shouldn't touch her. Next thing, Ray Palmer's like, well, I'm done with my Palmer, I'm going to go talk to her. And instead, and then she kind of friend zones everyone in the one conversation. And then it just closes. Like, there's no lead up to this, though. Like, previous episodes never established that, like, Jackson even had an inkling.
Mm. And I think it's a bit annoying. I think, I don't know, I think you can have a team of mixed genders and not have them hitting on each other and everyone getting into bed with each other or whatever. I mean, Sarah's in the position where, like, that is amazing. I don't care, I don't know if she's bi or she's straight, it's not.
But you can't bang her. She was dead once. That's necrophilia at this point.
Oh. Do you see what I'm getting at, though? Like,
yeah.
That's a fantastic role for a female character. To be respected in her own right, to be not just seen as, like, oh, there's a lady on the ship, I'm going to try pass and stuff.
Well, to me, that, like, you know, in terms of a writing stance, it shows how lacking they're going with Kendra.
Mm.
Oh, and Carter, to begin with, because that was the whole focus of their storyline, was these people are destined to be together and that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now with him out of the picture, which made me really happy, she's just there and she has nothing. And they're like, well, what is she? She's a girl. Let's make a love interest story. Like, she's really the weakest in the entire team. What's surprisingly becoming the strongest is Snart. And
love
his transformation. Like, he was that dickhole of a villain, but now he's becoming a bit more heart and a bit more team orientated, and he actually has a confrontation with Mick, like, which is awesome.
Yeah. Like, I used to think Snart was very campy. I thought I'd never like him, but I completely agree. There's heart. Something, he's found something in a character that would seemingly be so two-dimensional
cold
that no one would care about. Yeah, cold. And he's hit it, and everyone's just like, everyone, I say everyone, and I mean us too, I don't... Dylan, what do you agree? Do you like Snart? What do you think of him?
What was he doing in that cave all that time? Like, was he working out? Because when he fights Deathstroke at the end, he's fit again. Like, sure, Oliver might be, like, you know, they can't put weight on him, because, you know, he's an actor and he looks silly with, like, a fat suit on. But, like, how is he still fit and fit enough to go against Deathstroke? It just made no sense.
Seven bars.
One arm.
Yeah, well, that makes him extra strong.
One arm and bars. By himself. That's, yeah, there's your answer.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was Legends. I actually think, apart from the horrible love story on the side, that was one of my favourite stories that Legends has put forward. Because I guess it hit something that we're all sort of invested in. We all have followed Star City for so long, and now we've seen the horrible future that it might come to. But any last words on that one? Any final thoughts you want to scream into the void?
It's showing me exactly what I wanted Legends of Tomorrow to be a way to show alternate worlds and alternate timelines and have fun with it. Yeah. But I think they could have more fun with it, because once again, as I mentioned, with Flash being super fun and Arrow being super serious, I think they have a lot more room to move in sort of hitting the serious and the fun side of it. This episode was just serious and then stupid. I hope now that they've realized, and if this ranks second, like there will be the writers will know that people want them to go to alternate universes where they can see iterations of comic book stories, and it'll have no greater effect on the entire universe. Can't wait.
Just in case I didn't say, this episode got 9.1. So although I gave it an 8.5. I think it's the relationship story on the side that took it down for me. Do you think it deserves a 9.1, Dylan?
7.
You'd give it a 7?
Yeah, 7.
Wow, so you'd put it below Arrow's Taken.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I was excited for it. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be cool. And it's like, that doesn't matter. Like they said in the episode, like, it doesn't matter what you do here because we're going to go change history. So just get the hell out of here. And that's how I felt about the episode.
Yeah, that's very true. With no consequences, the story's almost empty.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the third and second place. And before we move on to the first place, which I'm sure you guys have probably figured out by now what show it is.
Totally this week's episode of Lucifer.
Oh my goodness. I may as well not even do this, guys. You guys have just covered it. But we'll do a little bit of the news. In the comic world of DC, where it has been revealed that DC is looking at a new project titled Rebirth. So comics, they're always reinventing themselves, and one of my problems that I find with it doing that is I struggle, like, knowing where to start. And I worry that Rebirth is going to do this, but Dan Didio, who's the co-publisher of DC Entertainment, said, Rebirth is designed to bring back the best of DC's past, embrace the stories we currently love, and move the entire epic universe into the future. We are returning to the essence of DCU. With Rebirth, we are putting the highest priority on the direct market and will continue to create and cultivate new opportunities for retailers to thrive and prosper, grow readers, fans, and customers. There's a bit of feedback saying people are really happy with the change, that the new 52 artists didn't get the what made a hero. Like, they changed things and made it for a modern audience and they didn't like it, so they're happy for the change. But someone else is annoyed at having to chase down all the different copies of other books just to fully understand their own story. And that was one of the points I found. Like, are you guys... is what are the positives you got from New 52 and what were the negatives that you got?
Well, see, when I sort of... I started reading comics like a... I don't know, 6 months and maybe just under a year before New 52 came out. And it was really quite hard, sort of know where to start. So really conveniently, they relaunched it at, you know, number ones, and that's where my collection, it's sort of really started. I'm like, I've got a kicking off point, it's good to go. But that's, at the same time, with New 52, they went for a hard reboot. There were some things that stayed, but they essentially revamped the entire DCU at that point. Now, a lot of things got changed, and some things for the better, some things for the worse, but things did change. And from what I'm looking at, from what I'm reading with Rebirth, it looks like the New 52 runs will still be continuing, my understanding, and then they'll be having new number ones that'll sort of not disregard everything that took place before the New 52. So it's showing a bit more sort of love and appreciation for the time before, because, you know, there was years, like 70 years of legacy before that.
Yeah, and I think I've heard a few people talk about, like, I am stuck with the Batgirl series and the New 52 Batgirl series. Before Burnside, people kind of were a bit arming and ahhing about it, and I sort of agreed with that, because it's like, Oracle was such an amazing character, and all of a sudden she's stepping out, literally, going back to being Batgirl, and... It didn't work. Like, they had to move to Burnside for this new Batgirl to really work. So I hope that is one of the new 52s that they're keeping. But Dylan, what were your positives and negatives of the New 52s?
Well, most of what I read was just the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo Batman, which kind of sat out of the New 52, essentially.
So you were protected.
So Batman got the least of the changes when it came to the New 52, so it's pretty much just continuing more Batman stories.
Yeah, I read the first Action Comics trade, which had Superman, but it wasn't too memorable. And I did try and read the most recent event. What was that one called again?
One that just happened?
Yeah, with the multiple worlds?
Conversion. No,
Convergence.
Yeah, reading that myself, yeah.
Yeah, I read about 4 or 5 issues of that and just couldn't get into it. I don't know. I like the idea, in essence, of these reboot kind of things. And I understand why they do it and go back to issue ones, because people can get back into it and it's for sales that everyone wants to buy in issue one, but it's also to bring readers in who feel a bit overwhelmed with the continuity and kind of want to start from scratch and get into it. And especially with Batman vs. Superman coming out, there's going to be a lot more interest in Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and all the characters, really. So they're trying to go back to that. But wasn't that what New 52 was anyway?
Well, yeah, that's what the New 52 was. But I think, as I sort of mentioned, with Rebirth, they're going back to a bit more of their roots. Maybe they've, in hindsight, gone we're a little bit too rough with cutting everything. An example is, Grant Morrison also released his Multiversity around the same time as Convergence. One of Grant Morrison's incredible skills when it comes to him writing DC is he knows the ins and outs of the DCU. So when he writes a Batman story, he will pull crap from, like, you know, the 70s, and in his story, that is canon. You know what I mean? And that's what's so great. So maybe they're sort of heading down that line of, let's bring back the stories that helped make the Batman canon, that helped make the Justice League canon. You know what I mean? Like, they're not starting from scratch, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're rebooting, but they're homaging.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to go back to its roots, and I guess the reboot of New 52 would definitely have allowed them to find out what modern themes work in these classic characters, and now this rebirth gives them that chance to better merge classic and modern.
I think you've pretty much nailed it on the head there, because you know, that's the downside. If they didn't do this reboot, their characters would more and more not be relevant. You know, that's the tough part. It's like, if there's a character that was invented in the 60s, the way we live our lives now, our moral compass, you know, the way society works is very, very different. You know, an easy example is Batman. If you look at how he as a character has changed since his first run in, what was it, like, issue 23 Detective Comics back in 1939, if you were to read that first book and then you were to read, you know, Scott Snyder's Batman, such a difference.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, nowadays, modern isn't modern very long, like, fame is only for 5 minutes, and I guess, like, what is popular, what is current, it can so quickly go out of date. We're getting so much new technology, society is moving forward in quicker than it used to, but I guess it's very similar to how quickly the DC TV universe is growing, especially from Flash, which actually has taken number one place in today's ranking, which, yay, everybody guessed, everybody knows.
How could we get this wrong? Like, really?
I'll be very surprised the day it isn't in top number one. Do you want to hazard a guess at what its ranking is?
Which
9.8.
9.8?
Whether it was either Escape from Earth 2 or King Shark. Oh, I'm going to say King Shark with the number one spot out of the two.
Yep. And Dylan reckons a 9.8. Well, you're both wrong. It's Escape from Earth 2 at 9.3.
What?
Yep. And
what did King Shark get?
King Shark got 8.9, 0.1 of a mark higher than Taken.
Get Whoa. Out.
Whoa. However, because...
Check it again.
We will discuss that one briefly because a few big things happened in that. But Dylan, if you could give us a quick synopsis of Escape from Earth 2.
Don't want to. All right, well, apparently in this amazing Escape from Earth 2 episode, Zoom realizes that Dr. Wills has returned to Earth 2 and issues a demand to the citizens of Central City to locate him. Wells, Sisko, and Earth 2 Barry update Iris on what happened with the Earth 1 Barry, so they all set out to find Killer Frost in hope that she will lead them to Zoom. Killer Frost agrees to take them to Zoom, but when they arrive to rescue Barry and Jesse, Zoom shows up. The team is able to escape while Killer Frost keeps Zoom frozen and unable to move, but a third unidentified prisoner is left behind.
Yeah.
On Earth 1, Caitlin creates Velocity 9, a compound to temporarily give Jay his speed so that he can stop a new metahuman named Geomancer. Jay, Caitlin, and Joe stabilize the breach and allow Barry, Sisko, Wells, and Jesse to return, but not before Zoom kills Jay and pulls him back through the closing breach to Earth 2.
Woo. So that ending was dramatic. That pretty much made the whole episode. Just for him to do pretty much exactly what Reverse Flash did to Sisko, but also drag him back into the speed cannon. But I completely agree with you guys. I actually thought that King Shark was better.
But, see, I think I understand what's happening. Unlike us, we watch it week in, week out. People probably come and go, right?
Mm.
And last week's, the week before, which, you know, the first Welcome to Earth 2, was a really strong episode. So maybe people, you know, around the water cooler or where people are like, you know, this week's The Flash was really solid. Just check it out. You know, you should get back in a Flash. So everyone rocks up to the next week.
Yeah, but that's like if you're like how many people watched it, but this is like how many people rated it. Like, people actually thought this was better by like 4 points.
Because they're wrong. Because they're all wrong.
So the difference, yeah, so King Shark got 8.9, Escape from Earth 2 got 9.3. I think seeing Caitlin as Killer Frost was amazing. Some things didn't really make sense. I mean, climbing ice is a bit stupid.
That was dumb.
Barry Earth 2 talking to Barry Earth 1 was really corny. I believe you can do it because I climbed a wall of ice. When in reality, I really think Sisko should have just gone up to the glass and changed the frequency of the glass so then the Flash could go through.
Yeah, what was with that? Like, if you really try, like, listen, I've been really trying all day, but I'll give it a shot because you told me to, and it worked.
Yeah, you just need to believe in yourself. And one thing that was great, Dylan, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but as Dr. Wells looks up at the entrance to Zoom's cave and he goes, well, well, well. He actually did it.
Catching on.
And I'm like, Dylan, you gotta, you know, send a tax invoice or something. Say, guys, I did it first.
Yeah, you owe me. You owe me for having to talk about this episode.
Yeah.
This episode, not only does it promote using drugs, which Jay Garrick does all the time, and that's why he died, there's the moral there, kids. That Geomancer was terrible. When he broke into the thing, and he's like, I'm acting. Look at me. I'm evil. And then Iris shoots him or Caitlin shoots him. What?
Yeah, I thought it was cool how when he was a terrible, terrible villain, but shooting the boot, as I think they called it, and it went around his neck like a collar, that's very similar to Young Justice in Bell Rev. All the superhuman prisoners there had the collar to stop them from using their abilities. So it was very similar, and so I haven't come across it in comics yet, but, I mean, like, that was cool. Hint to the two other universes, I reckon.
It wasn't the best episode. What the hell, people?
Let's not talk about it. That's it. Let's just jump over to King Shark, because we want to talk about that one. Because it got third place, and it deserves to be... It truly got third place. So let's give that one a go.
Yeah, this episode was so much better.
It's pretty much, we don't really need to give it a synopsis. King Shark attacks.
Yeah, King Shark.
Diggle and Lila rock up. Lila is actually taken over Waller's position.
So she's now Lila Waller.
And what's his name? Wally West is being
a dick.
Unreasonable. Yeah, this was great. I mean, I loved seeing Lila and Diggle in action. I loved seeing our prediction was true. Like, she's taken Waller's spot. I'm so excited for Jessie's character. She's fantastic. She's so sassy and just hates on Cisco the same as her dad does. And it's so funny. He's so proud that she does. But what was your favorite thing to come out? I mean, like, King Shark was great, but there's got to be some other things.
See, King Shark looked really good.
Mm.
Like, that CG was just solid, right? But, oh, God, I just loved all of it, really. I can't pinpoint one bit that made it great. So, I watched the episode a couple of days ago now, so it's kind of trying to retrace my steps. But, let's just go straight to the biggest spoilers of this episode.
Spoilers.
Is we know who Zoom is now.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hashtag Dylan was right.
Yep.
Yes.
Talk about Dylan.
I was right.
Thank you, Dylan.
That was fantastic. So it...
Well, is it Jay Garrick or is it Hunter Zolomon or is it Earth 3 Jay Garrick?
I think it would be Earth 3. I think he's been world hopping and taking care of the Jays, because they would have a similar DNA. However, see, my thinking is he'd be worried that they'd be able to get the similar power as him and maybe like hunger for the Speed Force. However, we've seen that although you're a doppelganger across the planets, doesn't mean you have the metagene, because Caitlin Earth 1 doesn't, but Caitlin Earth 2 does. So, I don't know. The safety net, maybe?
Yeah, like, granted, in the same conversation, I was like, holy crap, it's Jay Garrick! Oh, man, we called it. Like, that's the the only downside to sitting there and hashing it out and, you know, doing the theory, like, the theories that we have, when you guess it, you're kind of bummed. Like, honestly, like, man.
I was kind of just thinking about the last episode where Earth 1 Jay Garrick is taken back through the back to Earth 2. I kind of thought to myself, he probably could be alive. He probably could have been siding with Zoom. He could maybe just be taken prisoner. I mean, there's so many ways they could keep this Jay alive. But I'm thinking, I kind of wanted him to be dead. I mean, the Flash needs to have failures, because every hero needs that so that they feel more passionate about the next deed that they do.
If you're dead, you're not doing any more deeds. That Flash doesn't have any more challenges. He's gone.
But I mean, like, it's good that they didn't try and find a way around it. However, I feel for Caitlin, because I think Zoom's going to rock up to Earth 2 and be like, I'm Jay Garrick, I survived. And she'll be like, Jay Garrick, I'm so happy you're back. And then he'll be like, haha, I'm Zoom, kill you. And I feel like that's just another crushing thing upon Caitlin.
She has the worst, like, luck.
Worst luck. I worry for Caitlin.
I wouldn't say worry. I'm just like, pick better dudes, man.
Well, it's not her fault. It's fate, I guess. And I mean,
give
like
Cisco some love.
Cisco wasn't being very nice at all. I mean, she just lost someone very close to her, and he's like, why are you being so closed off? Why are you being so cold to me? It's like, dude, she's kind of in mourning. She kind of needs to get through this her own way.
Yeah, but her way was wrong, all right?
What, like shutting down?
Yeah.
Everyone goes through it different ways, bro. Okay, you're pushing my buttons, aren't you?
Yeah,
totally are.
After all that side of things, I just want to talk about how King Shark was right.
He was
right. And then when they're like, look, I'm really strong in water, he's like, alright, bring it. And then he's doing that insane breaststroke. God, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like butterfly.
Yeah.
A butterfly shark.
Like, it was menacing. The CG was just spot on. Much better than that stupid CG of on Arrow of him, like, doing Glenn. Some... What was he doing? He does, like, the zip line arrow.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
Mm. Well, some of those are okay, I guess. Yeah, but Flash...
Not this one, no.
Flash has the points for graphics.
Because they have faith in it now, so they're willing to give it money.
They're taking money out of Arrow and putting in Flash.
Yeah. Well, what if it's King Shark in Arrow's grave?
I'd be sad. Well, I already thought King Shark was dead once already, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
What can you do?
Well, hopefully it's not the last we've seen of him. I mean, like, Argus has taken him under their wing again. However, this time it's to try and save him from this meta ailment. At the same time, it's sort of like, well, what if he likes being a shark? So, hopefully we see him again.
He's so meta.
That was well done. Well, unless you guys have anything else to say?
No, I'm pretty done. I think I'm all DC'd out for the evening.
It's cheese time.
Cheese time. I'm looking forward to some dessert. But other stuff you can look forward to from Ryan is The Pop Culturist, which is on...
YouTube.
And usually posted...
sometime on the weekend.
Boom. And Dylan, we can hear more of you from...
Marvelous Podcast. Daredevil comes back. I think it's on 18th of March on Netflix, so we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, Daredevil season 1 was fantastic. Get up to date, watch that. Watch Deadpool, then watch all the reviews that Dylan and his team has popped up, because they're fantastic. You find me here, you find me on YouTube for the DC Who's Who, and again, I'm Brittany. And may all your universes be good ones, even if Jay Garrick is dead.
You're listening to DC Domination on the Nova Stream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.